This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to What's News Dunedin, brought to you by Hazer Kebab, the radio show that spawned from the 22,000 plus strong local Otipo Dunedin What's News Dunedin Facebook group. The group's been putting the social back into social media since 2020 with respect for our debate and a sense of humour. I'm your host, Richard Knights. On today's show, we talk to our wonderful guest, Janine Kubiak from Dunedin and Director for Grounds for Action, and her friend who's joined us in the show, because that's what we do over here on the What's News Dunedin radio show, Hannah Lynn. So they'll be telling us a bit more about themselves and what they do, as well as helping us look back at the posts that have generated the most interactions over the past 7 days on the What's News Dunedin Facebook group. Now, those posts this week are America starting another war and meddling in other countries' leadership, parking enforcement in our city supermarkets and how to get around it, and Councillor Vandevis walking out of this week's council meeting. So welcome to you both, Janine, Hannah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No, thanks for being here. And so you've driven from Christchurch?
Invercargill.
Oh, Invercargill.
Yep.
And you've driven from Alexandra, uh-huh. Hannah. So, and I've driven from Andy Bay.
Well done.
We are well-travelled when we get here, which is fantastic. Now, if you're on the group, I don't think you're in the What's News in Facebook group, or are you? You could be. I don't know, Hannah.
I don't live here, so no.
No, that's fair enough. That's all right. You don't have to be. You might decide after this show that it's so much fun being on the radio show that you want to be in the group as well. You're more than welcome to join. Definitely know that Janine is in the group. So we have a Punday Monday. Right, so on a Monday, we try and start the week off with a laugh, and we get our people to bring their best dad jokes, their best puns, and then we see if they make it off the page into the spoken word on a Friday. So, and it's not scientific, so that just whoever gets the most laugh reacts, that's your winner, right? That is it, right?
I'm just laughing already, so that cancels me out.
Hopefully this will be a winner then. So it's another one by Max Reed, is one of our, like, chief contributors to Punday Monday. He's got some, he must have puns for miles, to be fair. And this is one of his ones, actually. So have a listen. There's no requirement to laugh. But,
okay.
But do know that Max will probably be listening to see whether that happens or not.
We're a tough crowd, so.
Absolutely.
Go do with.
This works. So many hundreds of years ago, a group of scientists finally became bored watching the sun continuously rise and set, rise and set. Rise and set. So they called it a day.
When we said we're a tough crowd, we lied.
Exactly. But I think a lot of it's in the delivery.
It is.
Because I think when Max put that on the page, yeah. I've made that funnier.
Mm.
In my view, was that pregnant pause.
That timing, that pause that made a difference.
I wish I knew Max. I'd love to hear his delivery too. Maybe you could have him on the show and we could do a delivery off.
We should do that. Mm. Absolutely. Max will be up for that. He's a friend of the show. He's been on the show in his professional capacity. He would absolutely be loving to be on the show in his pun capacity.
A pun off.
I'm game for that.
Cool. We'll be here.
Good. Listen in. Tune in next week for Puns with Max Reed. Anyway, now, before we get started on the serious stuff, which is the new stuff, and talk about your good selves, we do have our three pop questions of the week. Now, these questions have been designed by myself and my wife to get under the skin of every, I was going to say contestant. You're not a contestant. Every guest on the show.
We could be.
Like, turn this into a competition.
What's on the board, Miss Ford?
So of every kind of guest that comes on the show, and basically lay bare their entire being for the audience to listen to. So there's no science involved in this. So first question, okay, when you have a cream tea, so when you have a scone, you have jam, you have cream, what goes on the scone first, the jam or the cream?
Cream.
I will accept either, but jam goes first.
The very nerve. How can you?
Because I'm from New Zealand, not from England.
Oh, I'm from England, so that explains it.
That doesn't explain it at all.
Richard, you're out of the English camp.
Doesn't
I'm sorry.
Explain it at all because Hannah is right. You put the jam on first, and science supports me and Hannah because you can't spread jam on cream. It just doesn't work.
You don't. You dollop it.
This is not a thing. Dolloping jam is not a thing.
I really like jam, Janine. I want more jam.
Yeah, so dollop it.
Well, I really like cream, so I just want the jam, and then I just want to throw as much cream on top as I possibly can.
Well, I can't do too much cream, so I like to do a bit of cream, and then I like to hammer it with jam in an unmeasured sort of serving.
It's so unscientific,
Janine. It's very uncivilised, but I'll do it.
It's a very Devon way of doing things, but me and Hannah do it the proper way, which is the Cornish way of doing things.
There you go.
So
Sorry, I'm Cornish.
You're Cornish, and you do it the Devon way.
Correct.
My life.
Don't tell anyone from Cornwall. If you're from Cornwall, I apologise.
The world is listening, Janine. Like I'm on Spotify. I'm international with this show. This is going on. This will be going on Spotify. There is a whole county where you come from going.
I was raised Welsh. Does that count?
I'm not sure that makes any better. To be completely
sorry,
fair.
Mum and
are
Dad.
You, Hannah? I don't know. I mean, Janine's your friend, so I mean, it's.
I mean. I will accept a scone any way you give it to
me. I know you will.
But she is wrong, isn't she?
I mean, I'm a big fan of jam in every bite.
Mm.
And you don't get that with jam just dolloped in the
middle. No, you don't. You don't. It's scientific, Janine.
Right.
Try it. You might change your mind. Like, genuinely, try it. And then you'll be phoning into the show going, that Richard bloke, he's right. He might be from Essex, but he's right.
Next week, I will call in with my scone with jam and then cream on top.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We'll have a discussion.
We can talk it out. It's the only question you can get wrong on my show, and you've managed it.
I do.
So no, I mean,
I do try.
I mean, Hannah wasn't even supposed to be here, and she got the question right.
I'll just leave you guys to it. It's my turn to talk.
Yeah. At least this time when I kick my guest out, I've got someone else to talk to. Which is well, thank you for that. I can appreciate it, and we'll see you in 55 minutes. I mean, I'm joking. So the next question you cannot get wrong. Who is, well, I'm hoping you can't get it wrong. Janine's thinking I possibly might. Who is your favourite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Donatello.
I'm going to get the answer wrong by saying April.
Oh.
No, you're allowed April.
Okay,
she's,
I like
mean,
it.
She's part of the crew.
She's
honorary.
She's totally honorary. I would have settled for Master Splinter as well. You could have chosen, even though I'm mousophobic, so I don't even like mice and rats. So,
you're not a fan of rats.
I'm not a fan of mice. My wife looks after that if they come in the house. I've got a kitten that brings them in, live.
Yep.
Live. Like, and then an ice cream. Get up on the bench, and then my wife goes, "There's another mouse in the house, isn't there?" I'm like, "Yep." Please.
I feel that way about birds, and so if a bird comes in or the cat brings one in, we just shut the house up and leave until my husband comes home.
You see, I'm all right with birds. Birds, totally fine. Alligators, no problem whatsoever. Like, genuinely, if a hippo walked in, I'd arm wrestle the hippo before I dealt with a mouse. Like,
see,
genuinely.
I'm the one that carries out the spiders. So I do the guts, the gore, the live rodents. Mm.
So I don't mind spiders either. Like, I'm again, genuinely, spiders, not a problem. Mice. Scared the bejesus out of me. And it always happens that I'm home alone.
Yep.
And the mouse is there. Always. Always. I'm waiting for my wife to return to save me.
Can I suggest just close the door and we leave until she comes home?
Well, I have been tempted to grab the petrol can and just burn the house down.
Well,
just,
I did see a news story recently about a man who did just that. He set his own house on fire because of a spider.
Yeah, that's... No, I haven't done it yet.
I wouldn't recommend
it. I'm leaving that as a yet.
Mm. But Donatello's my favourite. I think he's the smartest.
You get no argument from me.
Well, for some reason they turned them, is it anamorphic, is that the word? Where they take
no,
something.
No, it's a different thing. Something rather morphic though.
When they take an animal and they humanise it, that one, yeah. Well, they've created Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now and they have sex appeal. And so you've got all these teenagers who've got their favourite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Based on their, you know, who they fancy the most.
Who they fancy the most because they've created personality, such personality within these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that they are now more than just turtles in a half shell.
Turtle pal.
Turtles with personalities in a half shell.
Turtle.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be siding up to Master Splinter then any time. So that just wouldn't be me. Maybe April.
April.
See?
There's nothing wrong with April. So now the third and final question is a thinker. So give it some consideration. Don't just jump. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can just jump in. If you suddenly got that passion for the answer, get in there. Now, would you rather lose all the money that you've made this year, both dollars, or all the memories you've gained this year?
Oh, all the money, 100%.
Yep, I would go with the money.
Yeah? You've got to find the money again.
Can't find the memories again.
Can't find the memories again.
Yep.
You know, I would lose the money.
Yep.
And keep the memories.
I'll keep the money.
Yeah, I think.
But that's me. I mean, this doesn't mean your answers are wrong. The reason being is that at my age, I'm losing so many memories anyway. What's another year's worth? Like, genuinely, like, I can't remember why I walked into a room some days.
Yeah.
You know, do I need to lose that? Does that memory matter to me? Not a lot, really.
No.
Not to be fair.
I mean, so, with perimenopause, we're sort of losing memories all the time.
I can't even use that excuse.
We fair play, but we're sort of used to losing them and don't want to. So I think we may be just trying to hold on to them with sheer determination and feminine fury.
Yeah.
That's my approach to retaining my memory anyway, is just being too angry to lose it. How about you?
I just try and do fun stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want to forget that you've done it.
I don't want to forget that I've done it.
Mm.
No, fair enough.
Like this. Here I am here.
Exactly. Yes,
this is a very good memory.
Can you imagine if you forgot this like straight away? I mean, that would just be, it would be criminal, right?
It'd be disappointing.
I think so.
I would be annoyed.
Of course, you could just tune into Spotify at some point later in the piece
re-listen.
And listen again and maybe get their memory back and have a pocket full of cash.
Yeah.
Who knows? Mind you, not everything's on Spotify, right?
No.
No. So.
Not all my memories are.
No, my trip to Naseby isn't on Spotify.
Yeah. But there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, so let's talk about the three topics of the week before we forget.
Yep.
See what I did there? America starting another war and also meddling in other leadership's countries. So clearly Donald Trump has decided to start a war with Iran in the last 7 days. Mm. It's as far as most people can tell and most people agree, it's an illegal war because they haven't followed international law. He hasn't even spoken to his own Senate and Congress to get approval for the war. It's another one of those, we think they're going to do bad things, so therefore we're preemptively stopping them being bad by us being bad, which I really, really personally struggle with. And it's escalating, and it's escalating, and they then bombed a... They then sunk a battleship that was just simply returning home from a friendly exercise somewhere else in the world under the guise of preemptive strikes, and then berated the Iranian people for then fighting back, which again I can't say I understand world politics because it frustrates the living bejesus out of me, but you know, you can't punch someone and then complain that they thumped you back.
No.
Because it doesn't, you know, they're the ones that actually have responded within international law. Why have international law if you're not going to bloody actually adhere to it? And my view is if America is holding up this bastion of peace and we are the peacekeepers, we are this, that, and the other, they should be the one that should be at least adhering to that. Above everything else. I mean, yes, there was a very bad man in the Ayatollah. Yeah, a lot of people aren't upset to see that he has been killed, right? Yeah. I get that. Horrible man, horrible regime, horrible sins and not sins, I don't believe that sort of thing, but horrible crimes against their own people, their own children, their own women and innocents, right?
Yeah.
But then I also don't think that killing someone for that is, you know, it's like a unilateral decision by one person in the world to kind of go, well, in that case, mate, you're really bad and we're going to kill you because we're really nice.
Yeah.
Doesn't sit comfortably with me.
No.
Thoughts? Feelings?
Yeah, I've got huge thoughts about it. I've been trying to watch, not as much, but I've been trying to seek out the accurate sources of information.
Because it's tough, eh?
It is tough. It's hard to sift through what's, you know, what's conspiracy versus what's truth. And filtering that out and making sure that our kids are seeing things that are healthy to them versus them also being inundated with this information and worrying about this World War III. It's a big topic at the moment, and I do believe that that orange guy that helps run the American states, that he is in the wrong, very, very much so. And I do also understand that there are Iranian people who are pleased with the fact that dictatorship that they wonder has been removed, but it's quite frightening the level of violence that the American president is pushing on Iran in cahoots with Israel. It's something to be very mindful of, but also be aware of where you're getting your information from. I think that's
And I try and do the same because it's very easy to go down your own sort of personal rabbit hole based on your own political bias or your own personal bias. And I try again. I try and be open to other sources of information, but also try and keep it very straight down the middle when it comes to the What's News Dunedin Facebook group, because I don't want conspiracy and misinformation, disinformation. It's one of the reasons I set the page up, was to stop that, or to be a port where, in a storm sort of thing, that you could come there and kind of know you're getting facts. But what I struggle with, one of the things I struggle with the most, is you've got the supposed leader of the free world standing up in front of the world on television, a 79-year-old man that has never probably had to – he probably gets someone to punch someone for him kind of thing, who would shy from violence if, you know, bragging and sound and throwing ego and like, he look how wonderful this massive killing of people has been. Look how wonderful we've done. I really struggle with that. Like, you know, like I was saying to someone earlier today that I come from a family of four boys, right? We were always throwing punches, right? We were within 5 years of each other, four of us, right? We settled everything with our fists, right? And there wasn't anyone, and outsiders, if they wanted to come in, like, we would take them all on, right? Because there was four of us, right? You didn't mess with us. Yeah. I haven't thrown a fist in anger since I was 15. I remember the last time I did it, but because actually it's not the answer. But I would never brag about thumping someone. I would never brag about, I mean, just to stand there as a world leader and go, look how wonderful, it was glorious that I killed someone.
It's a very old way of thinking about, like, war and violence is to promenade it in front of as many people as will pay attention.
And violence begets violence, right? And then they've got the world community kind of goes, Donald doing his thing, that's okay. And then Iran retaliates and they go, oh, we shouldn't kill people. You shouldn't kill those six soldiers of – well, hang on, Donald started that. Donald, you know, in my view, Donald has got as much blood on his hands for the death of those six American soldiers as he does for the 80 school children or however many it was that were killed in the original – you know, and that is blood on – that's blood on his hands. Yeah. And when you look at that and kind of go, I don't understand how we're in 2026 and we're still under the illusion that violence, abhorrent violence, is the answer to conflict, because it doesn't make any sense. We were taught as kids. I was taught as a kid, like, what was that, 600 years ago when I was a young kid, that you didn't fight, even though we did it. You were taught actually, and I grew out of it, right? Like, it's been 250 years since the American countries started in the new world sense of the world, and they haven't figured it out yet. And they just interfere all the time. That's the bit as well. Every country here, let's go into someone's country, and we'll kidnap their leader. Now, where else in the world is that acceptable? Because if someone came in to any country, came into New Zealand and kidnapped Christopher Luxon, much as some of us would like that to happen.
Oh no, we would never let that happen.
Oh. Good job, it's radio, and you couldn't see Janine winking at me.
Terrible. Absolutely.
But terrible. Do you know what I mean? If someone came into this country, or we went to Australia and said, you know, is it Albanese? I don't know his name.
Albanese.
Yeah, exactly. So we just went, we don't like what you're doing in Australia. We're just gonna kidnap you. We're gonna take you into our country, and we're gonna prosecute you under our laws for the crimes that you committed, that we believe you committed in your country. Yeah. There's nowhere else in the world where anyone would accept that and go, yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Because under the war crimes, you would go to The Hague for.
Yeah, the International Court of Justice and International Court of Human Rights.
And that's what should have happened. Yeah. That is what, you know, the world collectively should have organised for to happen.
Yeah.
And the powers that be, the people that know about how to do those things, should have stepped up and said, we're going to do this, because as a group who are here to protect the welfare of our people in all nations, we want to make sure that no nation is being subjected to these kinds of conditions.
Exactly.
So Trump did it on his own, which was not a good idea. He should have.
He's never had a good idea.
He should have, you know, really gotten in touch with the people and at his level and said, let's organise for the correct way to do this.
Absolutely.
But he's just gone in hammer and tongs. He's probably put knives and forks in the cannons and has just
Away he goes.
Just gone for it.
Let's move on. Otherwise, we'll be talking about Trump forever. I don't want to. Parking enforcement in supermarkets.
Mm.
Big post in the week. Someone had basically gone into a supermarket. And this has happened to me as well. You go into a supermarket, you go off and do your shopping, and then you get the parking infringement. And it kind of goes, you left the supermarket, and then they send you a photo. So for me, when they sent me a photo of two women that had left the supermarket. I was reasonably confident that neither of them were me.
Mm-hmm. You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Reasonably confident, Janine. Reasonably confident. And I had a receipt for the shopping, all right?
Mm.
So now I get that they're trying to do a job. And I also get that actually it wasn't exactly hard for me to go, there's my receipt, those aren't me. But it is a common complaint of a lot of people that, you know, I get they're getting free parking, but you're not supposed to leave, right? But there seems to be very kind of like it's up to interpretation what that means, mm. right? Because if I park in the supermarket, there's me, my wife, and my kid. Does that mean we all can't leave? Does that mean that if one of us goes into the supermarket while the other one goes over there, that that's okay? I don't know. I don't know what the – they don't really define that as part. But the thing is, what I've always found is that if I've ever had a supermarket – parking ticket, I've never paid it because I've always just said
no.
Yeah. And I think that's not the other thing. It's very hard for them to enforce without taking you to court that ticket because it is a contractual breach. So it becomes part of this disputes tribunal. It's not a legal fine. If you park out on the street and DCC ping you, tough.
Yeah.
Because that's actually... You've got to pay that, you know. If it's deemed, if you can't argue it, and it's deemed to be fair and reasonable,
an infringement. Yeah,
yeah. But that's not in a supermarket car park. It's not an infringement. It's apparently you enter in a contract by entering the car park, and you agree to the terms and conditions by virtue of some kind of law that is kind of assumed contract. Which is, I get that. That's illegal. That's a genuine legal thing, right?
Yeah. As the driver, though.
As the driver, exactly. So, who else in your vehicle is obligated by that?
Mm.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Well, where else are you supposed? Let's say that you all have errands to run in town that day, and one of the errands is to go to the supermarket, and there's three people.
Mm.
One of you goes into the supermarket, and the other two run their errands. And so long as you're all back at the car within the amount of time allowed at the supermarket, and one person. Was
genuinely at the supermarket.
At the supermarket and has receipts to prove it.
Yeah.
Then I don't think that would be a fair enforcement.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like I say, none of it's fair in the sense of if they wanted to actually come and get you for it.
Mm.
I had this situation happen to me once. I went to the one at Forsyth Bar. There's a thing there. I was on time for a meeting and then the machine wasn't working. So I tried all my different cards. The machine wasn't working. I put a little note in my car, said, machine's not working.
Mm.
Went to my meeting, came back, got a ticket. I wrote to them and said, I'm not paying it. They said, why aren't you paying it? I said, well, your machine wasn't working. They said, well, you should have phoned me. I said, I don't work for you.
Mm.
But they said, but you should have phoned us. I said, well, I don't work for you. There's no, it's on the board somewhere that if your machine's not working, you should let us know. I said, well, that's not my responsibility, and I'm not paying you fine.
Right. Does the person who writes the tickets work for them?
I believe so. They must do. They're, you know, so
if they'd seen a note on your windscreen saying that the machine's not working, wouldn't it be you have let them know?
Well, I would have thought so. So again, like cause I always do that. Like if the machine's not working, or I take a photo of it and I just put a little note in there, kind of going like tried and failed, made me late for my meeting. I tried so many cards and tried so many times, I was actually late for my meeting. So at that point, I've kind of gone, I've done everything I possibly could. I have genuinely tried to pay. I'm happy to pay you $2.90, but I'm not paying you your rate $65.
Mm.
And then they kept going on. They said, no, we're not waiving it. So I just phoned them every day. Every day. I phoned them every day.
You got your $65 worth of
I just phoned them every day and said, like, you know that thing that we talked about yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm not paying it.
Mm.
And they got fed up. They got fed up with me in the end, and they just turned around and went, "Like, okay, fine, just don't pay it."
Yeah,
because
That's what they expect you to do. They expect you to give up.
Just concede just give it. And there's lots of ways of getting around it. Yeah. And if you're in the right, I firmly believe you shouldn't pay it, like genuinely. If you are taking the mickey, you just literally go and park yourself in the Countdown car park, Woolworths car park, and leave for 90 minutes, come back, and you haven't done a single piece of shopping inside. And
that's rude.
I think that's rude. Ultimately, pay for your parking.
I would think that's a bit of theft there, because you are effectively stealing parking from somebody who would be looking for parking for shopping.
For shopping. Yeah, exactly.
And that parking is paid for and provided by the company that is providing the shopping service.
Exactly.
So if you aren't going to use it, then I would think that you are just taking the mick, I think is the radio-friendly term.
Yeah, well, you can say taking the piss with it.
We're all old enough to remember when there was a person sitting in that booth at the New World car park.
Oh, yeah. Is the booth still there?
The booth's still there, but there's no one sitting in it.
The
barrier's
no longer
there.
Because I wouldn't park in the New World car park over parking in the Countdown one when I was younger because of that person.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the choice. Yeah. And yet never, because there was someone there who would be like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't paid. You haven't got a valid receipt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And replacing that person and that person's wage with some pretty dodgy looking cameras, if you've got a...
Oh, yeah, the camera. Don't even get me started on the camera ones that kind of supposed to record your license number plate. Mm. And then when you leave, and sometimes they don't catch you on your way out, so you come back later on and they say, well, you've stayed for 6 hours. You went, no, I stayed for 20 minutes, and I came back 6 hours later, stayed for 20 minutes. That's a rule. Mm. Yeah, but GPS on your phone is a good one for that one.
Maybe they should reinstate the person in the booth, because obviously, I mean...
They're paying for the person to enforce the fines, you know, genuinely.
They think you're two women. So how reliable are they at doing their job?
I guess the other side of it is what is the – I know you have no right to privacy in public, but what is the legal ramifications of them taking a picture of someone that's clearly not me and sending it to me? You.
Yeah, they made themselves vulnerable by doing that, didn't they?
What if I look at them and – look at those people and go, ooh – you know, if I'm that kind of person, if I'm a predator of some description, I think, oh, I reckon, I'm all, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they're taking a photo, which is not me. Mm-hmm. I get to take a photo of my car.
Yep.
That's cool. That's my car. Yeah, that's fine. I can leave you with that. But you've taken a picture of someone that's not me and sent it to me.
Yep.
Has that breached their privacy? Because to me, that feels like it has. And how many times have you taken a picture of me and sent it to someone else that's not me?
Do they take pictures of people with their children?
Well, I don't. This is the whole point. That's what I'm saying. Presumably. Like, presumably that happens.
That feels like a real worry.
And I've only just thought about it now as we're talking about it, genuinely, because it's like, but how many times has someone got a picture of me?
Yeah.
That you did not give consent.
Well, I didn't give consent to, but they've been sent to someone else.
So you've given, by being in public, you've given consent to having the photograph taken, but you have not given your consent for that photograph to be shared with a third party.
And absolutely.
So there are actually laws around that.
Well, exactly, data privacy laws. So when I'm getting photos of someone else, the data privacy of those individuals has been breached. I think that's wrong.
Yeah, it is.
And I've only just genuinely thought about it as we're talking about it, but that seems to me that's a stretch too far.
That may be something that they need to reflect on in terms of.
Well, I hope they're listening.
Are you listening?
Third and final topic. I want to talk about you guys because you're the most important people.
We are today.
You absolutely. And that's Councillor Vanderfis walking out of this week's council meeting. Listen. I don't know if you saw the news. He had a bit of a tanty because he got called on a point of order. And whether you agree with the point of order or not, this is the thing for me, that it was classed as disrespectful. He made the point that two other people in the room, two other councillors that he was trying to, you know, maybe style up to a little bit and impress them, they were the most important, wonderful business people in the room by far.
Mm.
And other business people in the room kind of went, well, you know, that's a bit disrespectful. And I personally agree with that. It's a disrespect. It added nothing to what he was trying to say. It was the important part of it. He could still make his point without saying that I'm being disrespectful. Mm. You know, if I'm sitting here right now and we've had this conversation already and I go, well, as the funniest person in the room, I mean, we both know you guys are funny too because you've already been here and you might look at that and kind of go, well, is he? It's a bit disrespectful. You know, that's fine. I think, but I wouldn't need to. So he gets up instead of apologising and retracting, which is something that he's done a lot of, right? Because he gets caught for point of order all the time, right?
Mm.
So instead of kind of going, sorry, I'll retract, continue with his statement, stay in the room, use his vote. He theatrically laughed into his hands as if he was like, you know, front and centre on stage at the school play, and it was really quite cringy theatrics, and packed his bag and walked out. Now, if you're my counsellor, if I voted for you and I put you round that table, my belief is that you are using your vote round the table to represent me.
Mm.
But if you have a tanty because someone's called a point of order on you, and it doesn't really matter, like genuinely, in the big scheme of things, it doesn't. That point of order, it doesn't. You know, like I've said, he's got called for racism before, and he just apologises and moves on and makes his point and uses his vote. Maybe he had somewhere to be. I mean, like maybe he just kind of looked at it and went, well, I was going to be out of here by 1 o'clock, and now it's 1:05. I need to get gone, so I'm just going to pack my stuff up and leave. But he took his vote with him. So the two things of importance that were on that day
didn't happen.
He didn't vote for.
Well, they happened, but yeah, he didn't cast his vote.
But he didn't cast his vote. So there's no record of, you know, Councillor Vanderbilt standing against whatever it was be. The debt at Forsyth Barr Stadium was one of the important things. Yeah. You know, these aren't small issues. These are actually things that he's campaigned upon, campaigned strongly upon, bringing debt down. And then there was a motion of paying down debt against the stadium, and he's chosen instead of apologising and retracting something that had no relevance whatsoever to the proceedings, to walk away and take his vote with him.
How do his constituents feel about it?
That's what I mean. If I was here, I've never voted for him. All right, he's never had a number on my voting form. But at the same time, if I had put a number, I would want that person to be in the room.
Mm.
Yeah, because presumably you have if you voted for him, you share some of his beliefs and believe that he would vote in the similar way to what you would vote.
That's why I put him there.
Yep. Yeah.
Genuinely, that's what they put him there for. I just struggle with that. We're talking about, it's a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
I love 70-year-old men.
So do I. I know a lot of 70-year-old men, which I'm very, very fond of. But like,
yeah, but the behaviour
needs to
arrogant behaviour.
Well, the behaviour and needs to be reflective of the decision that the people have made to put him in that position.
Yeah,
and what he's getting paid to be there?
$100,000.
Yeah.
What?
So he walked out of it. Do you get pay deducted? Does that leave without pay there?
No. The other side of being elected representative, you don't have to turn it to anything. I mean, you could. If you go four months or something absent without leave, then they'll kind of get rid of you. But you could literally, you don't have any requirement to turn up to a damn thing. So like the following day, you just put in his excuse instead of not coming.
Or you could show up and you could sleep, or you could just not
absolutely
engage in anything.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could.
That's pretty classic sort of, you know, I would expect that from maybe an 18-year-old who got told off at work and then like decided, I'm not coming in tomorrow because I'm hurt and I don't want to, even though I was wrong.
Don't get me wrong. I don't know if he was always not coming that following day, right? Because it was a 2-day meeting or day and a half meeting. But it feels a little bit. It doesn't look that good. It doesn't look that good, does it? But my bigger point is he's campaigned on reducing debt.
Yeah.
There is a motion in front of council about reducing debt, and he took his vote and left because of his ego, in my opinion, rather than stand up for his constituents.
I mean, one of two things. One, I did live here for quite some time, back at the beginning of Mr. Vanderbilt's council career. And so I'm not surprised that he walked out of a council meeting at all, or that he had something unpleasant to say. How long I thought about that word. The other alternative is he's actually aware that whatever it is that he was, now how do I say this without getting myself done for defamation? sometimes people who campaign on things are actually aware that what they're campaigning on is not possible.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Was that the case?
Well, he could have actually voted to pay down some debt. They did vote to pay down some debt. They have voted for something that will actually pay down the stadium debt sooner rather than later and not put us in a position where we end up with more debt.
Yep.
So it was the right decision. Whilst it might be hard for ratepayers to stomach, it was the right decision. Mm. In my mind, it was the right decision to do. That's what he could have been on the right side of history with that.
Yeah, but chose not to be.
And interestingly, two other councillors who again campaigned on bringing down debt, campaigned on it at the last election, voted against it. So read into that what you will, you know, but it, to me, that actually sort of comes back to actually, I'm not sure they knew what they were doing. That's genuinely, I'm not sure they knew what they're doing, because actually they were voting to do something that they were saying that there's too much debt, we need to pay it down. Yeah. First opportunity to say, let's pay down some more debt, they voted against it. Mm. No, it didn't change the fact that they proceeded with it, but anyway, that's enough for today on news. We want to get a quick word from our wonderful sponsor, and then we're going to talk about you.
Have you checked out Hazer Kebab yet? It's your go-to for a delicious lunch, a tasty dinner, or anything in between. Order online to save time and pick up some delicious, authentic Turkish cuisine in just minutes. HazerKebabCafe.co.nz. Dine in or take away at 906 George Street.
Who loves a kebab?
I'm hungry after listening to it. Actually.
Have you been to Hazer Kebab?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm driven by my stomach. I literally.
It's lunch. Fabulous.
It's opposite George Street normal, up the top end of George Street.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Food that's cooked with love.
Mm.
Can't fault him. And he sponsors the show. He's a wonderful human being. I've adopted him.
Have you?
He's only 26. He's
aww.
He's a wonderful, wonderful young man. He's younger than my oldest daughter. So it's like, just slide him into the family.
Yep,
job done. Happy days. And he chooses all my food for me now when I go there as well.
Oh,
I don't even say I want that. He just goes,
I think you'll like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been through the whole menu. I love all of it.
Yep.
And now I get off menu stuff as well. Mm. Stuff that even people that go in there can't even order. He just like creates something for me.
Be to try?
For me to try.
Oh,
yeah,
exactly. That's VIP treatment right there.
Oh, I know. If that fact he sponsors a show should be enough. Like, I mean, he's paying for me to be on air, and then to feed me in such a manner is I'm most thankful for.
Oh, very, very nice.
So let's talk about you, specifically you, Janine.
All right.
So not trying to sideline you, Hannah, but you obviously you were the friend that just turned up.
I'm just the friend that just turned up.
Just turned up and sort of, you know, strong-armed your way into
the
studio. I've got you down as obviously Janine Kubiak, and I'm not sure. Hopefully, I'm saying that right.
Yep.
Director for Grounds for Action. Yes. Now, that came to my attention on the group, and I was like, ooh. That sounds interesting. Let's get Janine on the show and have a talk about it. But I know nothing about it, right?
Yeah.
So give us the 5 minutes Cliff Notes or the 35 minutes Cliff Notes version of what is it? What are you doing? Where do you come from? How did you get here? Why do I want to talk to you?
Righto. I found out about 6 months ago that my mum and dad were volunteering with Save the Otago Peninsula, STOP for short. And what that means is that every Tuesday they head on down to Broad Bay and they help to clear and replant native plants at the Future Forest, which is a sort of a reclamation point on the peninsula that STOP are organising to look after the waterways there. There's a Smith's Creek, and in Smith's Creek you've got banded corkapoo and yabbies and eel as well. And the effects of industrial farming on the Otago Peninsula have muddied the waterways and made it really difficult for those species to thrive. So Save the Otago Peninsula, they're doing their good work. Mum and Dad told me about it. I grew up on the bay and I'd never heard of it.
Right.
And I thought to myself, why don't I know about this?
Yeah.
How do I not know about this?
Mm.
I don't live under a rock. I have access to social media, to the media. I have access to What's News Dunedin. Thank you, Richard. And I still didn't know. And I said, tell me more about it. They told me more. And I thought to myself, I should know about this. And I could be in a position to one day be able to volunteer and help. I am in a position to be able to buy a tree to support the effort. They're only $20. And then I thought, what else can I do to help? Because I like to help. So I spoke to a friend of mine and I said, hey, I've got a wee idea. And my friend Hayley in Christchurch, and she said, oh, what's that? With a pinch of salt, a big pinch of salt, because she knows me very well.
She knew someone was coming. She knew it was the prelude to something greater.
Yeah. But then I said, I'll get back to you in a minute because I've got some other things as well to think about. I went away and I thought about who else do I know, or what else do I know about that doesn't get a lot of publicity. And there are two more organisations that I knew of that needed help because they had told me through social interactions what they were working on. So there's Sea Nest, which is in Invercargill, and then there is also Dare to Care, and they're in Invercargill as well. So I went back to Hayley and I said, so what I reckon we should do is a short documentary about these three organisations because I think they need some publicity. And she's crazy too, so she said yes.
If you're going to bring crazy, it's good to have a band of crazy behind you.
Yeah.
I've always been a firm believer in that.
Absolutely.
My whole far now is like is my crazy that's behind me.
You can't do it without them.
Go and do that. Go and do that, Dad. Go and do that, you know, husband. Yeah. If you've got another bit of crazy, let's go.
Yep.
Bring it.
Hayley, she shares the same audacity that I do. Actually, Hayley and I and our friend Lauren, we studied broadcasting together 20-odd years ago. And in Dunedin, so that's how we all know each other, which is why I felt safe making sure that Hannah strong-armed her way into this conversation. And so Hayley and I have been working away and chipping away at getting this documentary into a form that can be filmed, and then we're hoping to pitch it to some networks to see if they will air it. At the moment, we're building up funding to be able to get some good equipment on board to be able to really tell these stories and pay our dues, but also pay a really good attention to the scenery. But the main story is actually about the people that are doing the work. Our why is to help them share the load of the work, because there's a lot of work to be done in each of these three spaces. Save the Otago Peninsula, I've just mentioned what it is that they are doing on Hedeweka Harbour Cone, down on the peninsula. Sea Nest, they actually have invented a form made out of concrete. It looks like a big wheel of Swiss cheese. They've created quite a few of these from overpours from a concrete company in Invercargill. So they're taking someone's waste and turning it into a valuable resource for native marine habitats out in Awarua and Bluff Harbour.
So then like reefs form around?
They are forming the artificial reefs.
Wow.
For these inhabitants. And they started with microscopic inhabitants, and they've recently got their first feki, their first octopus. And Bryony, I was talking to Bryony, who is one half of Sea Nest, and she not so long ago told me they saw their first feather in the water column, which most people would say, oh, a feather, that's very exciting. But what that told them was that they had gone from microscopic organisms to predators. So they had gone, they'd reached through the sea into the air, because all of a sudden they were attracting birds
to the area because of the wildlife and the habitat that they've created by putting waste concrete. But that's okay, because it's okay to be in the sea.
So they've come almost full circle. Yep.
Is it full circle? I don't know. Is there anything else?
It's continuous. I say it's a spiral of evolution. Yeah. The business that they are running, Sea Nest, and it's Bryony and Walker Miller. They are formerly of Dunedin, and Bryony's family, they used to look after Quarantine Island for quite a while.
Okay, in the harbour.
So they know the environment, they know the southern environment, and that's the project they're working on with E3, which is an environmental company as well, who are giving them lots of help. So they need funding and they need publicity, and there's a lot of red tape for them to get through as well. So our goal is to bring attention to what they're doing. And then the third organisation that we're working with is Dare to Care. Dare spelt D-E-E-R with the antlers.
Yep.
And what they've done, they're a group of hunters that go out, and they realise that the pest control part of deer hunting is really, really vital, as well as meeting the need of the 14% food inequality that happens in New Zealand. So they have managed to be able to harvest more than their fair share of protein from deer meat, and they then take the deer meat down the mountain. They literally carry it down themselves. They take it to a great butcher who's donating time and services to butcher the meat up. It then gets taken to different organisations who then distribute it for free into the community. So they get some funding, but they do need more funding. And they also, because they're deer hunters, they are open to quite a bit of criticism from various groups and organisations. And there are quite a few preconceived ideas about why they do what they do. But their ideology is to provide. They initially just wanted to provide for their families through hunting and gathering, and now they're providing for the wider community. Think Women's Refuge, Salvation Army, they're providing for a lot of different organisations. Those are just two of more than 100 that they help provide food towards. So we're looking at doing this half an hour documentary.
Wow.
On these three organisations, and we need help to make it.
Yep.
So that's what we're working on at the moment.
Wow. And so I knew about STOP. Well, I certainly knew the acronym. I didn't know exactly what they were doing, but I didn't know about the other two. And one of the things about that this show has done over the last 2 and a bit years is try and highlight some of the wonderful people doing wonderful things in our community. And so it's a perfect synergy with the fact you're here. I didn't know that's what we're going to get. I knew you were doing a documentary.
Yep.
And I thought, that sounds interesting. and that's kind of as far as my investigation goes, because once you're here, I'm going to find out the rest. But so these are people. One of the things I've noticed in the world that we live in, and I mean this motto here, like, Aotearoa, there are wonderful people doing wonderful things on the smell of an oldie rag, and that we're underfunded, but they are so hardworking, diligent. They're doing things that other people look at and are inspired and amazed by, but aren't doing. And we have some wonderful human beings out there doing some wonderful mahi, and we're not giving them enough publicity. We're not giving them enough noise. We're not giving them enough presence. And what you're doing is obviously I like to think very similar to what I spent two years doing, doing the same thing, because I've stumbled across all these wonderful people and hopefully giving them an hour on the show, they're able to accumulate some interest, some people that kind of go, I can get involved with that. So how do people get involved with what you're doing? How does someone go, I like the cut of Janine's jib.
Yep.
I like the fact that they're doing that. I want to learn more about this. This documentary sounds like a wonderful thing to me. How do I help?
Yeah, well, my jib's great. Thank you for saying so. You can help by going to boosted.co.nz and looking up Grounds for Action. The website is www.boosted.co.nz/boosted/projects/grounds-for-action. You can find me on Facebook, Janine Kubiak. You can go to my website, takitimufilms.co.nz. There is heaps of information on there as well. We are on Twitter under Janine Kubiak. We are on
The fact you still call it Twitter.
X, sorry. I just can't bring myself to do the change.
It's always going to be Twitter.
And I'm still calling Spark Telecom.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
But we're on Instagram under Grounds for Action, again, Takitimu Films or Janine Kubiak, or you can find us in View Road Productions, which is Hayley's production company in Christchurch. If you just type in Grounds for Action, you will find us. And if you don't know where to look, look up Facebook, see if we've got mutual friends and go from there, because especially in this town, you've got
2 degrees of separation in Dunedin, isn't it?
Honestly.
About 1.5, actually. I've worked it back to.
It's barely there. But yeah, that's a great way to go. And if you want to look up any of the organisations that we're working with that this documentary is about, you can go to cnest.co.nz, daretocare.co.nz, and you can find Save the Otago Peninsula on Facebook.
Fantastic. I've got a couple of questions, but before we get there, let's get another quick word from our wonderful sponsor.
Have you checked out Hazur Kebab yet? It's your go-to for a delicious lunch, a tasty dinner, or anything in between. Order online to save time and pick up some delicious, authentic Turkish cuisine in just minutes. HazurKebabCafe.co.nz. Dine in or take away at 906 George Street.
Now, before I forget, I need to mention Cat Rescue, Dunedin, Debbie Foster, another friend of the show, another person doing wonderful mahi. They have got a charity auction this evening at the Forbury Bowling Club starting at 7, and the charity auction starts at 8. So I'm giving that a plug because yours truly is doing the auction.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be fun, if nothing else. You can come along and I'm sure there'll be some chair puns because it's a charity auction. They've decorated some chairs. Artists have kind of like bedazzled. So these chairs like and things which are being auctioned out. So it's a charity auction, not a smashy and nicey charity, mate. I'm showing my age now, smashy and nicey. That's Harry Enfield, people. If anyone's not quite sure what I'm going on about,
well, we love him. We love Harry.
So that's happening. That's happening this evening. So if you want to come along, you're more than welcome to do so. There's a paid bar. There's some nibbles, and you can get involved in the charity auction. Now, I had questions for you before I go.
Yes.
We're going to run out of time. We've got 5 minutes left. So I told you this would swing by like massively quickly once we actually started. Yeah. I'm a man of my word. Now, what other documentaries or films have you done? Because you mentioned a production company. So is this like the first time you've kind of nibbled into something like this, or have you got a portfolio behind you of, you know, millions and millions, like David Attenborough-esque style, you know, 100 years old?
Yeah, I wish I did. Actually, no, when we studied broadcasting back in 2001 and 2002, we all had these grand dreams to go off and follow our broadcasting hearts. But life changed, and so no, I don't. This is my debut documentary. Hayley is currently working on several projects in Christchurch, and she's doing first AD. And some other work as well up there, which is very important to those people. So combined, this is going to be our debut documentary. And so we're looking forward to the challenges. We're looking forward to the learning curves. We're looking forward to the curveballs. We are really excited, though, about getting back to what ignited our passion 20, 25 years ago. And really doing something with all of this experience, this life experience behind us. And we've all got kids now, so it's about creating this legacy for our children as well.
Very much so.
To see that their parents actually give a damn, and want to do good, because especially at the moment with what's going on in the world, looking for the helpers is the most important thing. And bringing along helpers is also hugely important. So before we do go, I do actually want to plug my helper over here to my left hand side, which is Hannah. She is a celebrant who does the best work ever, and she is one of my best friends, and so I just wanted to make sure that she got a wee shout out too, if that's okay, Richard.
No, that's fantastic. Like, I mean, it's your show, isn't it? I'm just here to press the buttons.
Facilitate.
Like,
here on our show. Yeah. Hannah, would you like to give us a quick rundown about what it is that you do?
Before that, I'm very proud of Janine and Hayley. We all studied together, and we all thought we were going to go off and change the world, and we did in various ways, just not the ways we expected. But you've come back to it at a time in your life when it would be easy to go, no, that is not what I do anymore, and gone, actually, I really want to do that. Mm. We're going to make it happen, and you are telling a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Because the country runs on volunteers.
It absolutely does. Absolutely does. So,
Hannah Lind, marriage celebrant.
I'm a celebrant and wedding planner in Central Otago, and I am a volunteer baker for Good Bitches Baking as well.
Oh, fantastic group of people as well. Yeah. They are indeed. Now, it wouldn't be me if I didn't ask this question. Do you need anyone with a voice, with a face for radio, for the sultry tones of narration over the documentary? Because I know some people.
Do you, Richard?
Yeah, I'm just throwing that. You do got to manifest stuff out into the universe, right?
You do.
You know, I'm doing an auction tonight that I never thought I would do. The original girl had to pull out due to other commitments, and then suddenly Debbie on the phone going, "Do you want to give it a go?" I'm like, "Hell yes."
Well, Hayley and I will go back to our meetings and we'll discuss that, because we could be looking for a narrator. But I'll be in touch and I'll have to let you know.
This could be my David Attenborough
this
moment.
Couldn't it?
Yep.
Can you imagine?
He's 100,
easily.
So he does need
he needs someone to take over. I'm not sure someone from Essex with my kind of sort of like twangy sort of like, voice would ever compete with Sir David. I don't want to, but at the same time.
Different isn't better or worse. Different's just different.
Yeah.
I have been described as different very, very often, Hannah, to be fair. So like I'm more than comfortable with different. Yeah, so we have literally got a minute.
Okay, cool.
What do you want to use that last minute to say?
Wow, yeah.
No pressure.
That last minute. not dead air, that's for sure.
You're going to overthink it and think of nothing to
nothing to say whatsoever. Can you tell us a bit more about your charity that you're going to be emceeing tonight? You said it's for Cat Rescue.
Cat Rescue. It's just Cat Rescue Dunedin. So that's the people that they kind of go and pick up kittens and de-sex them and then put them back out into, you know, to homes, and they're foster kittens and stuff. My daughter actually works with them and fosters kittens while they've just been rescued. And then they kind of go and de-sex them, microchip them, give them all the vaccinations, and then kind of put them into their forever homes.
Oh, it's very cool.
A fantastic organisation.
And they're on Facebook as well, are they?
Yep, you can find Cat Rescue Dunedin. There's cat rescues all over. There's one in Invercargill.
Awesome.
As well. So, and that, sneaky, I saw what you did there. Like, you just flipped it over and said, like, I'll tell you what, instead of me talking, you have that minute, Rich. So,
consider that your audition for the documentary.
How did I do?
Very well.
Well done.
Thank you very
much.
I
had nothing to do with the decision, so I think it's great.
I genuinely had a fantastic, thoroughly enjoyable show. Thank you very much for joining us both. Just sit there while I round out the show, but you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for having us.
Well, that's a wrap for this week. Thank you for tuning in. I've been Richard Knights, and you've all been wonderful. Remember, if you're looking for a robust, respectful adult debate about all things local and further afield, and a welcoming online community doesn't take itself too seriously, come and find What's New Dunedin on Facebook and join our fun. On next week's show, we'll be talking to Victor Billett, Alliance Party leader, and we look forward to seeing you next Friday at 12 on ORFM. And if you want to listen to the show again, or simply share it with your friends, you can find the podcast at oar.org.nz, or even on Spotify, YouTube, or your favourite podcast provider.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.